Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I'm Monty Larrick. Transgenders in the military, hate groups, Illinois House Bill 1785. Here to address those issues is Peter LaBarbera, the president of AmericansForTruth.org. Peter, in the wake of the violence in Virginia, the Southern Poverty Law Center has released its list of what it calls hate groups. Some of the groups on that list are, in fact, hate groups. But they also put in there AmericansForTruth.org and the Illinois Family Institute. What's your reaction to that?
Well, we have fought for years against this spurious classification by the Southern Poverty Law Center. This is just outrageous. They are throwing in Christian pro-family groups, groups that oppose the homosexual, transgender, bisexual agenda. They're throwing those groups in, groups like IFI and Americans for Truth, with the most vile racists, you know, stormtroopers, neo-Nazis, anti-Semitic groups. It's simply outrageous, but this is the way the left works. Their goal is to advance their allies in the LGBTQ movement. And so if it takes lying about conservative, social conservative groups like Americans for Truth, they'll do it because it's all about the end justifies the means. For groups like the SPLC. And so it's bad enough that they're doing it. But then what happens is media companies like CNN and others and websites all repeat these lies that Americans for Truth is a, quote, hate group. And nothing could be further from the truth. We stand for Judeo-Christian morality. We oppose hateful rhetoric. We denounced Westboro Baptist Church. We say that a Christian should speak the truth in love. And what they're doing is a form of hardcore activism that essentially uses as a tool the demonization of opponents through these outright lies. That's what the Southern Poverty Law Center is doing, and they raise a lot of money off it. And it's very unfortunate they ruined, as it were, the good work that they did, because they did good work fighting racism. But by expanding it to morality, which includes homosexuality, they basically have turned their organization into a leftist lying outfit. They're profiting off the politics of hate, and it's very destructive what they're doing, and it's very deceitful.
I could see in the near future where they would label a church or a denomination a hate group if it adheres to the biblical guidelines on marriage, for instance, that it should be between a man and a woman.
Well, absolutely. When ideas that you oppose can be labeled hate, then where does it stop? We've already seen pro-homosexual groups say that if you oppose so-called gay marriage, you are hateful. So we're already seeing that happen on the left. The Southern Poverty Law Center has just sort of institutionalized this whole lie by classifying as hate groups. And they throw a few groups in there that are on the left. But for example, there's a group called the Gay Liberation Network based in Chicago. When my group, Americans for Truth, our banquet a few years ago, was attacked in a brick attack because our speaker, the person on the left, did not like our speaker. And so we were attacked in the middle of the night with bricks. A homosexual group, the Gay Liberation Network, refuse to condemn that. Now, to me, that is hateful. When you refuse to condemn a violent attack on another organization, that's hateful. And yet the Southern Poverty Law Center has never labeled Gay Liberation Network a hate group. They're only interested in groups on the right, for the most part, and especially on the LGBT issue, one side. The left knows that tarring somebody as a hater is one of the most effective ways to demonize him. And that's what they're doing to all of us. And it's going to take a renewed focus on the part of all groups. It started with the Alliance Defense Fund, because the Alliance Defense Fund was also labeled, or Alliance Defending Freedom, a much bigger organization, was also labeled as a quote-unquote hate group. They fought back.
How do we counter this just vicious accusation? What can we do?
I think we just have to expose the SPLC through education. It's growing. They have mislabeled so many organizations, not just on the homosexual issue, but on other issues as well, out of their need to, you know, politics through demonization. I think we just have to educate people, and people are starting to catch on. What's disingenuous of the media is when CNN just, you know, a company like CNN just throws it out there without any context. as if the SPLC is some sort of authority on hatred. I think the SPLC is hateful for what they've done to us. We see incredibly hateful rhetoric coming out of the homosexual lobby. Anybody who disagrees with them is called a homophobe or a bigot or a hater in this case. There's lots of hate on the left, but the SPLC is much more interested in tarring conservatives with the hate label.
Peter, let's turn our attention to a legislative matter. House Bill 1785 becomes law. It allows people to change the sex designation on their birth certificates without surgery. They'll need some counseling, but no surgery. How will this change Illinois?
Well, I think this is a massive public lie that's being implemented through public policy. You can't go back and change your sex. You can't change history. Our hearts go out to people who struggle with gender confusion, but we should not accommodate that confusion through public policy. This has all sorts of implications. Police will now be able to look at somebody they want to identify as perhaps a female, it's really a male, and vice versa. Schools, the child can say, I have to be allowed to enter the girls' restroom, this is a biological boy, because look, my birth certificate says I'm a female. You know, it's a massive lie that's being perpetrated through a law, and it shouldn't happen. This is going to add confusion to police, to schools. It could even be used to oppress religious liberty in churches and religious organizations.
And these arguments about privacy in restrooms and locker rooms go right out the window with this enactment.
Right. Imagine you have a man who decides he's a female. He hasn't had any sex change, so-called surgery, because you can't change your sex. But he says, I want to go into the women's locker room. I am a woman, and I can produce it, proof through my birth certificate, and here's my license. I mean, this is outrageous. It should not be encouraged through public policy. Somebody needs to say no to this radical transgender lobby. It's not going to be the media. It has to be Americans through common sense.
Peter, we've talked about this before, but it would seem as though this is going to put sports programs in kind of jeopardy if you're changing birth certificates.
What this birth certificate bill does is sort of codify the radical transgender agenda. We're already seeing biological males competing as quote-unquote females in female athletics in high school, and we're going to see it in the Olympics. We're seeing it all over. This codifies it. If the athlete can say, hey, here's my birth certificate. I am a female, and this is a biological male with naturally more strength than females, and reducing testosterone or taking female hormones does not necessarily eliminate the strength advantage that a male has in female sports. This is going to make it easier for that transgender activist to compete as a man in women's sports. And so this is going to lead to all sorts of chaos. Somebody has to put a stop to it. And as I said before, it should be the American people through their representatives, because the media is lock, stock, and barrel with the transgender lobby on this one.
I can see also, Peter, that this is going to really impact hiring and employment.
Well, if you're getting your birth certificate artificially altered to perpetrate a lie, which is that you are the other sex, then what's stopping that person from going to, say, a religious organization and saying, this is who I am. See, here's my birth certificate. Or a non-religious organization. Have small businesses, will they lose their right to say, we do not want to participate in transgenderism, we don't want to encourage transgenderism, we don't believe in gender confusion as a civil right? What happens to their rights? Because what we see is, on the side of the left, is codifying gender confusion and sexual perversion as quote-unquote civil rights, and then demanding that this newfangled definition of civil rights be enacted writ large on the whole society. And that's why the LGBTQ agenda is used as a battering ram now against religious organizations. They're able to say, you are against civil rights. See, here's the proof.
You mentioned religious organizations, but I can see this as being a danger specifically to churches.
I've seen papers by the ACLU which basically say that churches have some rights, but only in their pastoral staff. In other words, if there's a lesbian secretary, the church cannot fire that when they discover that the woman is identifying as lesbian, because that's just basic gay rights, civil rights. That's part of the ACLU dogma. So now apply that to transgenderism. They might say, okay, we're not going to force the church to hire a transgender pastor, but if there's a transgender employee at the church, say a janitor, a secretary, a lower level employee, that's part of civil rights. See, what the left is doing is they're using civil rights, they're redefining civil rights, and using it as a battering ram to impose the LGBTQ agenda on the entire society.
There is a church on the South Side that recently removed from membership a woman in their congregation who married a woman. They were met with protest, but the church stood its ground. And I'm just not sure that a lot of evangelical churches these days would stand their ground. What do you think?
I think we're seeing some evangelicals stand their ground. I think we're seeing other evangelicals, unfortunately, go the route of cowardice and accommodation. I think you will see some churches who will say, okay, I will bend to the law. They will not take the bold, brave course of action, which is to stay biblical. And that's unfortunate, but you better believe the gay lobby and the transgender lobby are going after churches and religious institutions. We're also seeing Catholic schools, for example, some famous cases in which a Catholic school discovers that one of its teachers is in a homosexual so-called marriage, and then saying, no, you're not allowed to work here anymore, and all sorts of protests surrounding that, and legal cases by the other side saying, no, that person is married. So just like we saw gay marriage through the courts being used now to take action against Christian organizations, we will see gay and transgender legal groups use laws like this proposed transgender birth certificate to go after religious organizations.
So this seems obvious, but it would seem to me that churches need to be educating their congregations on what the Bible says about homosexuality. But they're not doing that, and it's high time they start.
I think churches need to wake up and see where this culture is headed. The number one threat right now in America to religious freedom comes from the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender movement. And if you're not educating yourself on that risk and on the morality surrounding these issues, then you could be in trouble someday. Also, this same lobby, the LGBTQ lobby, is rewriting the Word of God itself, or trying to accommodate their sexual perversion. And pastors need to be aware of that. Theologians need to be aware of that.
But churches would say, well, it's in our bylaws, in our church constitution, that we adhere to the biblical view on marriage. But who reads that? And what are their youth directors telling the young people in the church about this? Are they even talking about this?
The church needs to wake up. We're seeing a huge movement now pushing towards so-called gay Christianity and now transgender Christianity. This is an effort to say that the Bible is not against homosexuality as a sin, but it's actually, you can be a gay Christian. Well, I say put another sexual sin in there and see if it makes sense. We don't go around talking about pornography using Christians, adulterous Christians. So why would we redefine the Bible on this particular sexual sin? But this is a very, very strong movement. They're appealing to Christians on the basis of compassion and being like Christ, Christ-minded, and it's very deceptive. And so Christian pastors and theologians need to understand this threat.
Well, to be clear, we want gays and transgenders to hear the gospel.
There's a huge difference between reaching out in love to the sexual struggler, people who are, struggle with homosexual temptation or gender confusion, and basically ratifying that ideology, embracing that sin movement as part of Christianity. Huge difference. Of course, we reach out to all sinners. Americans for Truth is having Stephen Black, who once considered himself gay, as our speaker in October. So we help the ex-gay movement. We want gays to come to Christ and leave that lifestyle. But there's a huge difference between that and embracing homosexuality in the name of Christ.
This is Illinois Family Spotlight. We'll continue our conversation with Peter LaBarbera with AmericansForTruth.com after this.
Do you know that the time your children spend in school for 1 year is as much time as they will spend in church in over 5 years? Why would we want our children to be in a school that denies God and His truth? Christian Liberty Academy was founded in 1968 to provide a place that would affirm and strengthen what our children learn at home and in their churches. We have a great location in Arlington Heights, outstanding faculty and facilities, a strong biblical worldview emphasis, and an affordable tuition price compared to similar schools. We provide a comprehensive and accredited curriculum that will prepare your child for college and beyond. From preschool all the way through 12th grade, discover the positive difference that Christian Liberty Academy can make in their education and life. Schedule a personal tour today and get more information at ChristianLibertyAcademy.com or call 847-385-2013.
People are talking a lot about healthcare these days. There are so many changes, so many questions. As Christians, where can we turn for answers? At Samaritan Ministries, we believe the answer is in Jesus Christ working in the lives of His people, demonstrating Christian community by sharing each other's medical needs, scripturally, faithfully. Here's just part of Brett's story in his own words.
When I reflect on Samaritan Ministries, the biggest thing that stands out to me is that we, as a body of believers, are living out New Testament Christianity. This idea that Samaritan has adopted from the book of Acts should permeate all parts of our lives, not just health sharing. It has a profound impact on people like me and my wife.
Brett is just one of over 200,000 members who are sharing over $23 million in medical needs each month. If you'd like to experience what it's like to partner with other Christians for your healthcare needs, and you'd like to see what other members are saying, visit MySamaritanStory.org.
Peter, you're applauding the actions taken by President Trump dealing with transgenders in the military. But does that order go far enough?
The order has to be institutionalized now. We're seeing some resistance in the military to Trump's basically tweeted ban on transgender service. Look, this is common sense. The military has enough problems. It does not need to add accommodating gender confusion to the mix. If Obama's policy is allowed to go forward of so-called transgender service, we will have American taxpayers paying for these sex change operations, which are basically trying to say you can take a man who is born as a boy and turn him into a woman by destroying his sex organs. That is not an agenda which should be part of the military. So Trump just tweeted it out. Now the threat is, will this be undermined before it becomes enacted in the military itself? The military worked with Obama to enact this ridiculous policy in the first place. So I'm not sure if relying on the military bureaucracy to do the right thing, if this ever would have happened. And maybe Trump knew that. Maybe the conservatives surrounding Trump knew that too. We saw a lot of kowtowing to Obama's radical LGBT agenda in the military by military brass itself. So Trump is taking it in a whole new direction. There is a huge effort, I'm sure, right now to undermine him.
Peter, when it comes to so-called equality laws, religious freedom, and freedom of conscience, how would you rate the Trump administration?
I think I'd maybe give the Trump administration a C, maybe a C+, maybe that's too generous, on religious freedom. He promised, and we had intimated, that strong White House policy protecting religious freedom was going to come out of the administration. It never did. It was apparently stopped from after internal battles, and so we have not got a strong religious freedom protection order, which we need, because after 8 years of Obama, we need to say, hey, we're not going to let the gay agenda destroy religious freedom in this country. On the gay agenda itself, we saw a good thing that Trump did, tweeting out the transgender ban on transgender service in the military, but it has yet to be implemented through actual guidance. We saw Trump say a very bad thing about the homosexual marriage issue. He said it was settled law. And why would the gay marriage decision from 2 years ago be settled law if Roe v. Wade on abortion isn't settled law from way back in 1973? So we have to keep pushing Trump to do the right thing. I think he's being educated on these issues. He comes out of a liberal New York City background. He once actually championed homosexuality, making that a civil right, for goodness sake. I think he's come a long way since then. He's being educated by groups like the Family Research Council, by conservatives in his administration, hopefully by Mike Pence as well, but he's got to do a lot more.
with Trump in the White House, is the so-called Equality Act dead?
The Equality Act is not dead. It will never be dead as long as we have a very strong, powerful, well-funded homosexual lobby. So we have to educate people on what the Equality Act does, which would only make it more damaging the gay agenda to religious freedom. And I should say right here and now that the Log Cabin Republicans, a so-called gay Republican group, actually supports the Equality Act, which means that the gay Republicans do not stand forthrightly and strongly for religious freedom. We've got to educate people on that Equality Act because it's not about equality, it's about discriminating against Christians. I call it the Criminalizing Christianity Act.
And in fact, you could not use your religious freedom as an argument against SOGI laws.
SOGI being sexual orientation, gender identity laws, absolutely. The Equality Act, so-called, which again, we're calling the Criminalizing Christianity Act, would put homosexuality and gender confusion into our civil rights code. In other words, it puts it in the law, treating people who oppose homosexuality, including Christians who say it's a sexual sin, treating them in the law like racists. The difference is racism is a sin. Racism is wrong. Opposing homosexuality is the Judeo-Christian, the biblical thing to do. You cannot be pro-homosexual and a faithful Christian. You cannot be for homosexuality as a civil right. That is not Christian. That's post-Christian.
You mentioned earlier that AmericansForTruth.com has a banquet coming up. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we have a banquet October 20th and 21st. It's not just a banquet. We also have a teach-in with Stephen Black, who is a wonderful former homosexual. He once called himself gay. He now reaches out through his ministry, First Stone Ministry, to homosexuals. He has helped many people who once thought they were gay come out of that lifestyle. Our banquet is Friday, October 20th. The next day, Stephen Black himself will give a series of lectures at John Kirkwood's church, which is Grace Gospel Fellowship in Bensonville, Illinois. He will give three seminars on how to reach out to homosexual people struggling with homosexuality, how to deal with the myth of gay Christianity, how to stay in this culture war with speaking the truth with the love of Christ.
Peter, what's your website?
Americans for Truth. That's F-O-R, AmericansForTruth.com. And I'm also on Twitter at Peter LaBarbera.
God bless you and your work.
Thank you, Monty, and God bless IFI.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.